You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. You found it, the tip of the spear. It is The Alex Jones Show.
I hear people.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Normally, I host The War Room. I believe Rob Dew has taken that over for me tonight. I'm joined, of course, right now by Michael Yawn. I'll be joined by Kyle Serafin in the next hour. And then Matt Bracken takes over to interview Victor Boot in the fourth hour of today's Alex Jones Show broadcast. But I do got to tell you, folks, today and today only, every product on the alexjonesstore.com that's branded InfoWars are 60% off. Shirts and hats, as well as the InfoWars cooler bundle. And I said it before, I'll say it again. You've probably heard the term last chance quite a bit on InfoWars because we're constantly having sales start and end. And so we'll say this is your last chance to get this sale, or this is your last chance to be entered to win the raffle. And it's always true when we say that, but this is your last chance. This may be the last chance ever to get InfoWars branded material. InfoWars is shutting down. We will no longer be able to use this branding or sell this logo. So if you want some InfoWars merchandise, if you want a collectible, maybe just to put away and sell as a collector's item in the future, I wouldn't blame you. And now is the time. Today only, all InfoWars products are 60% off at thealexjonesstore.com. The InfoWars cooler bundle would be a great purchase as we get closer to summer. You're saving over $100 off. That's 60% off as well. VIP members pay even less. You get the ultimate portable cooler as well as InfoWars Edition polarized sunglasses and InfoWars Edition koozies. So lots of InfoWars branding on that, and it's on a just absolutely massive discount. I mean, honestly, if you're a VIP member, you're paying less than $64 for that cooler bundle when the cooler itself is worth more than that. You're getting all these other additions on top of it. And again, last chance, InfoWars branded products right now, today only, 60% off. Last chance ever to buy an InfoWars, officially InfoWars branded product before we shut down and they become a matter of history. Now, with that, again, I'm happy to have Michael Yawn on the show with me today at Michael Yawn on X. I'm sorry, at Michael underscore Yawn on X, MichaelYawn.com, MichaelYawn.locals.com as well. I had not heard of this island you just mentioned, Koh Tao. I wrote it down, but it goes in line with other stuff we've been seeing. You said it's been sort of colonized by Israelis. I want you to expand on that because at the same time, there's been rumors and stories recently from March of this year. Israeli officials suggest purchasing Greek islands as a haven for Jewish people. There's a story from Gen X Girl on Substack, Argentina to accept 300,000 Israelis to create a Israeli mini state within Argentina. And now you're telling me there's this, I mean, what do you mean when you say the Israelis are, you know, colonizing this island? And is this happening all over the place and we're just not aware of it?
Oh yeah. In fact, actually, instead of locals, I'm on Substack, by the way, anyway, to mention that, but I'm on Substack pretty often. But when it comes to where are the Israelis going, they're obviously, going to Cyprus and that sort of thing. And they're going down to Argentina, which we went down there and looked at that. It's quite fascinating. And they're also going to Panama right now. And they're going to many places. But if you look at the places they're going to, a landing strip, you might say, has been built for them. Not a physical landing strip, but let's say Guatemala is prepped as well. Let's put it that way. Hmm. We went down to Guatemala and looked. Now, if you look at Thailand, the places where the Israelis are going, or one of them is called Pai. I've been up there looking at it, Pai, P-A-I. It's in northern Thailand. And you'll see that's a strategic route that the Japanese were at during World War II. So that's strategic. Now, you go to Koh Tao, and those three islands that you saw when you look up Koh Tao, there's Koh Tao, Koh Phangan, and Koh Samui. I've been out on those islands for several months, right? So Koh Tao is where, and Koh Phangan, there's a lot of Israelis there, right? Now, if you look at the Funan Techo Canal and where it's not open, the Funan Techo Canal is not built, but the proposed Funan Techo Canal in Cambodia, and you look at where the Kra Isthmus Canal will be, that Koh Tao is a perfect place to have influence over the. It's clear, by the way, let's set the table on this. It's clear, by the way, that Thailand is being attacked to be destroyed. crystal clear to me. Now, where's my background on this? I'm very familiar with Thailand. I used to have an office there. I wrote the last two pages in one of the prime minister's book. It's called the book is called The Simple Truth. I wrote the last two pages, actually. I've been all over Thailand, every province. Thailand is the hyphen in Indo-Pacific security. It's a very important place, right? That's why the United States and others have put so much emphasis on Thailand for generations, right? And that's why I put so much emphasis on Thailand. I first went to look at the Kra Isthmus Canal potential project in 2014, right? Because I could see that this is at some point probably will come to pass. Now, that will allow the users of the Kra Isthmus Canal to bypass the Strait of Malacca. Now, a dream of building a canal across the Kra Isthmus, Kra in Thai language means turtle, by the way. So turtle isthmus, let's say. A dream of making that canal is at least several centuries old, maybe four centuries old. I haven't been able to find the, I don't know how far back it goes, but it goes back very far. I haven't been able to find the first reference, but it goes back very far. And you know, I've got an old map from the 1800s, actually, where they're, you know, it's drawn. It's not made yet. It's very difficult. You know, Suez was difficult to make, but Suez was a joke to make compared to the Panama Canal. Panama Canal was very difficult. Kra Isthmus Canal is even more difficult, right?
Right.
Otherwise, it would already be built. But it could be built, though. It's not a technical reason why it's not been built. There's political reasons as well. Like the British did not want to bypass. They didn't want anybody bypassing the Strait of Malacca. Now, China wants to be able to bypass the Strait of Malacca because China, that's why just in the last 24 hours or so, China is getting, you know, starting to talk about Kra Isthmus very loud now. Now, they've already got the plans to do it. Thailand bucks back and pushes back on those plans because what Thailand is concerned about is if numerous things. One, if they build the canal, it'll be good for Thailand on some aspects, but there's a breakaway, you know, there's a war in those bottom three provinces that border Malaysia, and some of the Thai leadership is concerned that a canal would be like, hey, there's a split between us, even though it's just a canal, and, you know, we're going to break off for real. You know, they would love the secessionists, right? Anyway, not to go into all the internal details, but Thailand itself is clearly under attack. For instance, now they've got thousands of cannabis licenses have been issued in the last 4 years. They've got cannabis stores all over the place now. In fact, I went into a lot of those stores in Bangkok. If you look on, say, Google Maps, you'll see cannabis stores everywhere. But the maps that you see online, there's a lot more in person, actually, that haven't populated the maps yet. But that's one of the primary weapons, by the way, on dumbing people down,
right,
is intoxicants, whether that be alcohol, cannabis, or whatever. And if you watch the countries that are targeted, like Israel itself is being targeted by the same Zionist, actually. I know that sounds maybe like that would never happen, but that is 100% happening. I mean, the Zionists are actually targeting Israelis as well. They don't care about Israelis. They don't care about a homeland for the Jews. That's about routes and resources. That's, you know, what that's about.
You know, it's really interesting. Just on that note, because I was going to talk about this anyway, but just to emphasize your point, somebody posted this map of the ethno-religious diversity of Lebanon, just showing that, you know, while Lebanon is sort of slandered as this extremist country, it's like, no, there's actually huge parts with the majority Catholic, majority up here is other Christian, which would be Orthodox Christian or Greek Orthodox in the orange. But Gad Saad actually responded to this map saying, oh, gee, where'd all the Jews go? Didn't Lebanon used to have a big population of Jews? And the answer is actually the final exodus of Lebanese Jews happened in August 1982 when Israeli forces invaded Lebanon and laid siege to Beirut. Over 100 Jewish families were displaced after Israeli forces bombarded the Jewish quarter, leaving it nearly abandoned, and shelled its synagogue, which suffered extensive damage. By 2005, the Jewish quarter of Beirut only held 40 to 200 Jews. They just bombed the synagogue in Iran, where there's a sizable Jewish population. So just to emphasize and sort of confirm what you're saying, the Zionists don't give a damn about Jews. And if it's Jews in a country they want to target, oh, well, they'll have to pay the price along with all the non-Jews. So just to emphasize what you're saying.
You're bringing up something extreme. Where'd you get that book, man? I got to get that. Ethno-Religious Diversity of Lebanon. I got to get that. All right.
This was posted on X. I don't know. I'll send it to you.
Oh, thank you very much. And listen, this is very important because you've spurred something important. There's a lot of Lebanese, actually, that speak Spanish fluently, right? And so they have a very close relationship there with with Panama and Venezuela as well. Anyway, and some other parts down there. So interestingly, I mean, they speak Spanish natively, right?
Right.
And so what's interesting is you saw the fire under the bridge at Panama last week or so. And I think they'll probably, this is my guess, I think that what will happen is the United States, let's say the Zionists, because the big power structures in Panama are Zionist and Chinese Communist Party. Chinese and Zionists are moving in hard on Panama, and they have been for generations, actually. So, but what I'm getting to is the Zionists can then use that the bridge fire and blame that on the Iranians. There's Iranians that live in Panama too, and also blame it on the Lebanese, because the Lebanese have a serious home base there in Panama. So the Zionists can use that to then, first of all, send more U.S. forces into Panama, and also to target the Lebanese and Iranians and others who live there that the Zionists want to get out of Panama. I think you're going to see that happening, because that's like a no-brainer for those who are following the larger aspects of the war. You know, that they're at war with Lebanon, and they don't want the Lebanese, you know. I've been right over there. I've been right where that fire was. You can walk under that bridge. I've walked under there quite a few times showing people. I took Brett Weinstein down there and all kinds of other people. It's quite fascinating.
Certainly doesn't look like an accident. And of course, that all combines interestingly with the other news stories today about Trump going after the Pope, and Spain and Italy are breaking with Israel. And so we're going to start sanctioning them. Lebanon is like, very large portions of that country are Catholic. So you see the Catholics sort of trying to intervene and stop. So there's this like Israeli Catholic friction cropping up that I think is sort of an interesting dynamic to what you're describing.
Oh, yeah. That's been going on for, I don't know, 2,000 years.
Oh, right. The whole time, I guess. Yeah. If you really look into it,
it's been going on for a while.
That's right.
We're looking at a really mature tree here, you know what I mean? Or a jungle. So, I mean, this is a, you know, oh yeah, we could go on for hours and hours about that. But that's you'll hear people like Netanyahu talk about the Romans and they talk about them like this is an ongoing fight with the Romans.
Right.
I mean, they, you know,
and we're the new Rome, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's an old fight. Remember, wars are about routes, resources, and ideology. That's what every war you've ever studied is about, either one of those things, two of those things, or all three. This is about all three. And one of the ideologies wants global depopulation. Not all of them. Some of them are not. Some of them don't want, you know, some of the oligarchical systems don't have, they have different ideologies, right?
Right.
And some want depopulation, and they're going for it. And I think they're going to get it. I think they're going to get a huge depopulation. They've already got a huge amount with the death jabs. I don't know how many and how many will, and you know, end up radiating into the future from the jabs and the other pharma weapons. But when it comes to the food, you know, I think in the next couple of years, we're going to start to see a dramatic population decrease.
Yeah. And it's all about control, right? So even the dying off is really about, well, it's too hard to control all these people. If there was a lot fewer of them and they were a lot dumber and hooked on weed and pornography, it'd be real easy to control them. So that's what gives the impetus behind a lot of those movements.
Oh, you said something important. The weed. They're pushing it in Argentina, too. We went to the big expo, right? And they're clearly, the Zionists are going for Argentina, as are the Chinese, right? We went to, my wife Masako and I, we went to the CPAC thing down there, and Ben Shapiro spoke. They opened it with, Viva Argentina, Viva Estados Unidos, and Viva Israel. This was in Buenos Aires. Yeah, and Buenos Aires has, you know, long been a home seat for Jews and Nazis, right? Jews and, I mean, it's one of the biggest Jewish cities in the world, is Buenos Aires, and Naziville, right? Because they work together very closely. I mean, specifically the Zionists. I mean, look at this stuff. I mean, I just happened to have it on my desk. You know, how the Zionists were working with the Nazis. They were best buddies, man.
There was a story about that today. It's somewhere on my desk. I'll find it in just a second. But it was revealed today. Some papers were uncovered that showed some cooperation with the early Israeli sort of terror groups that were operating there. Here it is. Declassified files expose Jewish pre-state underground militias' contacts with Nazi Germany. So again, just to emphasize what you're saying, we've got a story from today about that exact case. Stern's Nazi gamble.
Oh, Zionists and Jews have been killing each other for more than a century. I mean, the Zionists killed one of the most famous ones was when they killed, the Zionists killed a Dutch Jew in Palestine in about 1924. What was his name? He was some Dutch poet. And yeah, they assassinated him because anyway, so the Zionists and Jews have been killing each other like crazy. You'll see Jewish partisans killing Zionists, and Zionists were causing part of the pogroms because the Zionists were trying to get the Jews to move down to Israel.
That's right.
The, you know, the big Zionist was is Maliakovsky. You know, I mean, here's Maliakovsky's daddy right here, Maliakovsky Netanyahu. And by the way, the guy down in Argentina, Mele, his name was Maliakovsky too.
Wow.
This was Benjamin Netanyahu, the current, I guess, prime minister, if he's still alive. This is his father, Benjamin Netanyahu. But their name was Maliakovsky, right?
Right.
They changed the name to Netanyahu in roughly 1920. And the grandfather was a Russian rabbi. This guy was born in Warsaw. That's the father of the current alleged prime minister, who is still alive. So they changed their name in the 1920s to Netanyahu. They're Maliakovsky, just like our, you know, just like the Malay guy down in Argentina, Maliakovsky, right? So I mean, but keep in mind, they were all about getting the Jews down to Israel because that was about routes and resources. And the British crown, British intelligence and whatnot, was the one that they were supporting these guys hard. Theodor Herzl and all those guys, right? You know, Theodor Herzl was the original gangster for the British when it came to getting the Zionists together. And, you know, his name is on these. I've showed you before the share warrant that issued in 1899 to get the Jews to go down to Palestine, you know, to make the colony down there. Theodor Herzl's name is the first name on there, right? And the British are the ones that sponsored all that. And keep in mind, these colonies are nothing new. My family came over to the United States with the Virginia Company of London, and they were shipwrecked on Bermuda in 1609. Their name's in there, the Eason's. That's my mother's side, right? My direct line, and that's the reason Bermuda is part of, is a territory, the oldest territory of Great Britain now, is United Kingdom, is because of that shipwreck. It was called the Sea Venture. It was the flagship of the Virginia Company of London. In fact, here's some of their old records. I just happen to have it out today. I mean, this is a book from 1906, I think, right?
Wow.
There's four of these books. Anyway, this, you know, it goes through my family was on there. They were on the Sea Venture, got shipwrecked. And what I'm getting to is they raised money to make the colony, just like colonies all over the world. They raise money, sell shares, that's how the Scottish ended up getting absorbed by England, because they went bankrupt, because they started a colony in Derry in Panama, actually. And they went bankrupt in the 1690s, so they got absorbed in about 1706 or 7 by the English. But because Great Britain did not exist yet. When the Scottish went bankrupt in Darien, they had two missions, lost about 2,000 people, the Darien Project. They went bankrupt, and that was when England absorbed Scotland. And a lot of Scottish people don't realize that. The reason that it became the United Kingdom of England and Scotland was because Scotland went bankrupt in Darien, Panama, right? Now, then, you know, if Scotland had succeeded, it would probably be the United Kingdom of Scotland and England,
right,
instead of England and Scotland, right? I mean, because the Scottish would have been kicking some butt, right? But so it was all about these routes and resources, and they went bankrupt. And so, I mean, all these colonies, company towns all over America, that sort of thing, you know, these company towns, America was built on company towns. Our whole country was built, you know, in service of routes and resources, right? You know, company towns where the company, let's say you want to have a copper mine and there you go, the Darien scheme, man. That's fascinating stuff. I've got several books on it. I'm down in Darien all the time. They still got that fort out there in the jungle. And actually, the place where the Scottish picked was one of the major routes where we almost built the canal. The Scottish picked well. Those Scottish, man, they're smart. They picked the right place. They definitely picked the right place. But, you know, they didn't succeed due to various reasons. One is, the mosquitoes were not happy with them,
right?
And the Darien jungle is really dangerous.
No, they were much, much happier in the frozen wastes of Canada. They thrived in Canada and in different places like that. Let me ask, because we don't have too much longer, and I got this story that I'll play the video on the other side, but I want your input as a expert of warfare and the changing nature of warfare from Politico, and we've got the video about this. Robots captured Russian army positions for the first time in history, Zelensky says. He says that a battalion of robots and only robots captured a Russian position. It's the first time in history that an enemy position was taken exclusively by unmanned platforms, ground systems, and drones. I mean, this seems like a watershed moment in human history. We now have the first successful mission entirely with unmanned drones being carried out.
Think about that in regard to these AI centers, these data centers, yep. Right? So when you can make massive amounts of robots you've got the data and the ability to control those robots, whether they're drones that are ground drones or air drones or hybrid or water drones or whatever. You can control a lot of planet Earth just by using your data centers and your drone technology. Yeah. It's a very serious thing. This is future world, right?
It's a scary world we're moving into, and there's more and more videos being posted of little robot dogs patrolling parking garages and things. I mean, we're the frog in the boiling pot, and the heat being applied is AI and data centers. And of course, that is completely at odds with the climate change agenda and the, we have to save the earth and not use electricity. I mean, the data centers, the amount of electricity they use is unimaginable. The one in Ohio that they're building is going to use the equivalent of 9 nuclear power plants on one data facility, and it's not going to benefit the people at all. I mean, again, how do we get through to people about what's actually going on here? Because they're being told, well, we need these data centers for, I don't even know what the claimed reason for data centers is, because the only thing they're going to do with it is enslave us. Like, that's the only possible use they could have for it. They're being tossed and pulled and pushed in all these different directions. We've got to save the earth and not use electricity. Actually, now we need infinite electricity for these data centers. How do we break through to people to let them know like what's really going on here?
If they haven't woken up now, I mean, it's a big deal. They'll die. They'll literally die. And this is significant, to put it mildly. And you can see that clearly is the direction that it's going. Here in Japan, you can already see in some restaurants up in Tokyo, they got robots as servers.
Yep.
Or you go into some buildings and it's like robots that are cleaning and actually patrolling the hallways. And in the airports too. I've seen that in Thailand as well. I've seen it in various countries where in the airports you'll see, these robots, going around and blinking, their eyes blink, that's what, it's creepy. It's hardcore creepy.
That is very creepy. I still have a visceral response whenever I see I just want to destroy them. I'm a Luddite like that, I guess you could say. But hey, I'd rather have a robot checking me in than somebody that doesn't speak English and just arrived 3 months ago. But this is the false dichotomy we're being presented with.
Harrison, you just did a throwaway, Luddite. That's where the word sabotage came from, was those guys.
That's
Luddites, right.
Right.
They would throw their Sabo shoes.
The wooden clogs would clog up the machines. Yeah.
Yeah. You do a lot of throwaways, man, that should, keep talking about it. It's very important.
Well, we could spend all day on this stuff, on each one of these little stories. I mean, there's so much more to get into. We only got 1 minute left. There's not enough time to cover this, but just since you might have insight, missing nuclear official becomes 10th person died to dark pattern surrounding U.S. secrets. I mean, any insight on what's causing these nuclear scientists to go missing?
I don't know. I don't know anything, and it's obviously interesting, to put it mildly again.
Yeah.
I just don't know what's happening. Yeah.
But hey, it's not sort of out of what you'd expect with everything else that we're seeing with the attacks on energy worldwide to try to create this massive die-off. This is the most important thing we could be talking about right now, since it's going to affect everybody on Earth, and it's coming whether we like it or not. Michael Yon, thank you so much. As always, follow Michael Yon on X at Michael_Yon, MichaelYon.com, and is it MichaelYon.substack.com?
Michael Yon, look up Big Honey. It'll pop up.
Big
yep.
Honey,
It'll
Michael Yon there. On Substack. Well, thank you so much for joining us, sir. We'll talk
Thanks,
to you again
soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Always a pleasure. All right, folks, we're going to be back for the third hour of The Alex Jones Show shortly with Kyle Serafin. to answer questions. We're going to get back into domestic news with him. Please support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Last chance to get InfoWars branded material.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.